7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it's time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions on Minds Over Matter.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend, and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter was and shall always remain an audience participation quiz program, so we hope you will call and participate. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Our lines are totally open right now, and since it's just two of us here tonight, we'll have all the more time to take your calls. So give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134. We'll be taking your questions and giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you would like a podcast of this show, one should be available afterwards, along with some of our older shows, also at kalw.org. So that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. I see we already have a call in line. I suspect it is from Union City, but we shall see. And as I said, Jerry Nachman met last week with Dennis Rodman in an effort to lessen the threat of nuclear war with the Chicago Bulls.
Thank you, Dana. All hail our dear leader and moderator, Kim Jung Rodriguez.
So that is us, and we begin the questioning with, straight from the calendar, Jerry Nachman.
Please do not divulge my sources.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Anyway, what advertising icon came in second when Eleanor Roosevelt was voted the most famous woman in the United States in a 1945 Fortune magazine survey?
This sounds a little familiar, and not that it's been asked necessarily, but that I may have read it someplace. It is an icon that's still very much around today, isn't it?
I'm not saying.
Okay, I think it's Betty Crocker.
It is.
Okay.
All right. I had a feeling you'd get that one. All right. What classic pizzas key... Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Start again.
Why is the basic margarita pizza so named?
Margarita?
Yeah.
Well, since I know nothing about pizza, I think you're safe with that.
Well, it's a basic pizza with just tomato sauce and mozzarella and dough.
All right.
Margarita, M-A-R-G-H-E-R-I-T-A.
So in other words, what it is named after? Is that sort of...
What person is it named after?
All right. All right. Well, let me do my questions and then we will take a call. So let's see. What is the most commonly heard three-word announcement in English? What is the most commonly heard three-word announcement in English?
Can you narrow it down a little bit?
Well, I already told you.
How would you hear it?
I already told you it's an announcement.
I know.
So it's obviously has a slight official ring to it.
Yeah, right.
So I don't think I can narrow it down much further.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's too many.
What is the most commonly heard three-word announcement in the English language? It's also used in other languages, but it had its birth in English.
Would it be heard on the radio, for instance?
It would not be heard on the radio.
Okay.
What is the most commonly heard three-word announcement in the English language?
But announcement means it's not only official, but it's heard over some...
It is not heard on the radio, but it is heard over...
A microphone or...
Right.
Speaker system.
Right.
Some
right.
Sound.
Exactly.
Okay. Please pull over.
How often have you heard that?
I don't know. I have never heard. I just all right. I can think of.
Okay. And the second question is, what is the most repeated command in the Bible? What is the most, and it is said sometimes by God, but not always. What is the most repeated command in the Bible?
Which testament?
It goes all
the way through.
Yeah, all the way through.
Okay.
Probably more in the Old Testament,
uh-huh.
I would say.
Go forth.
No. And multiply, you mean?
Well,
no.
That's one of them.
All right. So once more, what is the most repeated command in the Bible? And the first question was, what is the most commonly heard three-word announcement in the English language? Okay. It is used in other languages, but it had its start in the English language. And
so this is international.
It is international. It is slight variations, yes. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
I know the answer to about that margarita pizza.
Okay. What is it?
It was named after a city in Italy, Santa Margherita.
But the city was named after somebody. That's...
Yeah, there is a city called Santa Margherita.
Okay. That's not quite the answer I want, but that's a good first stab.
Yeah. Got a couple questions.
Okay.
My first one, what was the first animated television series that used jazz?
The first animated television series that used jazz.
It's not the Charlie Brown specials, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So it's is it in the 50s?
No, it's 60s.
60s. And I'm sorry, you said it was a special, not a series.
It's not a series of specials. It was a regular series.
Oh.
It was a series.
It was a regular series.
Yeah.
Bullwinkle?
No.
No, I don't remember them ever using jazz. It's not like not Crusader Rabbit, is it?
No.
That would have been 50s. That's what I was going to say.
It's not the Flintstones.
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Is it really? The Flintstones used jazz?
Yeah, they even had a theme for one of the episodes where Fred accuses Wilma of being unfaithful, and he hires a detective named Perry Goodnight.
No.
And here's my second question. Who was the author of a series of detective novels that play his creation in a feature film?
All right,
Who was the author of a series of detective novels to play his creation in the feature film?
Oh, Mickey Spillane.
Yeah, what was the name of the film?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I asked that once. Let's see.
It's not I, the Jury.
No,
it's not Kiss Me Deadly?
It's not Kiss Me Deadly.
No, that's the first one, I think. Yeah.
The Girl Hunter?
Yes, give yourself a bell. Hunters, actually.
Quite surprisingly good. I saw that once, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an emotionally demanding role, but...
Still, you have to act.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
You have to act.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
It's not Hamlet, but still.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh, that was quick. What company was the first to promise, quote, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back?
Oh, that's a good question.
I hope so.
I'll
give you one guess only.
Is this a famous product that we still use today?
No. What? No.
Oh, it's not? I'm sorry.
It's not a product.
It's a company.
Yeah.
But they must have a product, or you couldn't get how would you get satisfaction or your money back?
Well, you'll see when I give you the answer.
But there's no product involved.
No.
Oh. Satisfaction guaranteed to your money back. But there's no product.
I shouldn't have even told you that much, but stumbled into it.
Ooh. Could you... Let's see.
No.
Well, since there's no product involved, I mean, is there any sort of framework you can know?
No.
All right.
I already narrowed it down hugely by saying it's not a product.
Well, it's not a product.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
I don't mean to be confusing, but I...
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, actually, why don't you repeat that?
What company was the first to promise, quote, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back?
Hmm. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes. I guess about the three-word announcement.
Yes.
Now hear this.
Oh, that's an excellent guess, but no, that's not it.
That's not it. And the most frequent Bible thing, thou shalt not?
No.
No? Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Carla in Oakland.
Hi, Carla.
Is the three-word announcement, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh,
that's
well...
That's very good. Yeah. It's not an announcement.
That's not an announcement.
Part of an announcement.
That's like a preface or...
Yeah, it's part of an announcement. Yeah.
But I can see why you would think that. But no, that's not it.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, let's see here. Okay, what famous writer and illustrator claimed to have invented the miniskirt?
Writer and illustrator, you mean, was this a comic book?
It
comic
could be.
Stripper?
It could be something to do with that.
Who drew and wrote his own strip? Or,
yes.
Al Capp?
Yes, okay. You're right. Okay. Yes, Al Capp. All right.
He was into voluptuous women.
Yes, he was,
Daisy
to say
May
the least. All right, I'm going to give you...
Passionata Van Climax, my favorite. My favorite female
Your favorite
character.
Name of all time?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you some original names of literary characters. These were the names that they were first known as before the final name took shape. And it might give you some little hints in here as to the final shape of the character. So again, these are original names of literary characters. Now, it could be a comic strip or it could be a short story or a novel.
I mean, they were later changed.
Later changed, yeah. Okay. These are not...
In any literary form at all?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, number one, Little Otto. Little Otto. Number two, and Otto is O-T-T-O. Number two is Puny Pete. P-U-N-Y, Puny Pete. Number three is Stella Strong. Number four is Connie Gustafson. And number five is Philip Mallory. Again, these are the original names of what famous literary characters? Number one, Little Otto, O-T-T-O. Number two, Puny Pete. Number three, Stella Strong. Number four, Connie Gustafson. And number five, Philip Mallory. I'll give you one guess, Jerry.
Well, the first three sound like comic strip characters. Little Otto, Puny Pete, and Stella Strong.
All right, what's your one guess?
Little Otto, is that little... The Little King?
No.
Drawn by Otto Saglo?
No. Oh, that's a good guess, but okay. No. All right, I'll give you one more guess.
Okay. Philip Mallory, would that be Philip Marlowe?
It is Philip Marlowe,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Are you there, caller? Sorry. Call back. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Linda Nell-Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I hope you're enjoying daylight savings time. I certainly am.
I'm not a fan of daylight savings
time. You're
not? No. I like it. When it's supposed to be dark, I like it to be dark.
Oh, he likes coming here in the dark.
You're probably one of those early risers.
No. Well, yes, I guess I am.
Arising from his coffin and coming to the show.
All right. Well, it seems like the end of winter to me, so I'm very happy with it.
All right.
But it seemed as though it was early this year, earlier than usual. I don't know if that was your impression.
I think they made it earlier a couple of years ago. Yeah, it has been earlier. Not just this year, but I think last year also.
Yes, I think so. Now, can you tell me when daylight savings time first went into effect in the United States?
I think it happened during World War I, didn't it?
Okay, excellent. Okay, so that's true. And was what time did it of the year did it start? Can you give me an approximate date?
Well, around this time of the year.
Spring, I guess.
Okay. Can you? Oh, okay. Was it earlier than this or not?
I would say no, but I'm not really sure.
Okay, I had it here a minute ago. I tried to see. I think it was actually in February.
Oh, really?
That
okay.
Started, and it was very unpopular. So it was repealed after World War One, but it has a very complicated history. If you look into it, it's just gone back and forth, and different parts of the country are not under daylight savings time. And
I think there are only two states that are not, though. Isn't
I think
right?
Indiana is one, and
yeah.
But
well,
I'm not
I
sure.
Think Arizona is one, but I don't really have that.
Right.
So, and then. Actually, here's what I was actually trying to ask. What was the earliest date that daylight savings time began?
Of all the years that it's been in effect?
Yes, right.
Well, 1914.
No.
You mean
I'm
earliest?
About the date of the of
time
the
of year, okay. I would just be guessing. I'll say February 2nd.
Okay, that's great. It was February 9th. It was during World War II.
Oh.
So that's when they actually started.
World War I. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been back and forth, and it's really quite amazing what a varied history it's had. So anyway, hope you get around to enjoying it, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening.
I hate driving with the sun in my eyes. That's the thing I don't like about it.
Yeah, you do get that way as you come over the bridge, as I come from the East Bay.
Like 2 hours. Yeah.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are an audience participation quiz program, so please feel free to call and participate. That number is area code 415-841-4134. If you can't get through right now, just give it a couple of minutes. 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is two people, and I would be one. Jerry, well-known Bay Area author, Jerry Nachman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And again, that number is 415-841-4134. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. By the way, I was thinking about this on the way over tonight. We will be celebrating our 20th anniversary in August, the first week of August. And if anybody has any ideas for our 20th anniversary or any of our listeners, we'd be certainly interested to hear. Send me an email. We're open to different ways to celebrate. So, if you have any ideas, just let me know.
Especially any food ideas.
Any food ideas, yeah, yes. Mainly, Jerry's always open to food ideas, so that's fine. And
I have a couple I'll tell you after the show.
Okay, all right, that's fine. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
I have a guess. I'm not sure about this, but Jerry's question about satisfaction guaranteed.
Yeah.
Is that Sears?
No.
That wasn't Sears.
Not Sears, no.
I thought it might have been a big retailer as opposed to a product, but then I'll give one more guess at it. Was
that's a good guess,
Woolworth?
But no.
I'm sorry, say that again. We didn't hear.
Is it Woolworths then?
No.
Oh, that's also a good guess.
Yeah, also a good guess, yep.
Okay. Since I don't know that, I do have a question for you.
Okay.
There's a current popular sitcom, that has an oddity. The names of one of the couples on the show is actually the first and last name of one of the founders of the Actors Studio, and the names of two siblings on the show are the first and last names of a famous American author.
Would you ask that again, please?
So there's this current sitcom,
sure.
Right?
The current sitcom. The names of one of the couples on the show, the first names of this couple, are both the first and last names of one of the founders of the Actors Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And the names of two siblings on the show are the first and last names of a famous American author, and this was done intentionally by the creators of the show.
Now I'm trying to think. It's not Lee Strasberg. I mean, that's...
No, it's not. It's not Lee Strasberg.
Okay. No,
it's actually someone Lee Strasberg credited for co-founding the studio with him.
All right. Not Sanford.
And that was like a kind of...
Well, since I haven't watched
Sanford Meisner sitcom
since... Seinfeld. I'm probably not the best person to guess.
You better give us some kind of hint to go on here.
Well, it's on Modern Family, actually. I can give you that.
Oh. Huh. Okay. And a couple. No, it's not Mitchell and Cameron. Yeah, that...
yeah it is.
It is. Well, Cameron Mitchell, that was, of course, that was an actor, but...
Right. Well, at Lee Strasberg, I didn't know this until I just read this about the show, actually. It's credited by Lee Strasberg as being a co-founder of the Actors Studio.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I did not know that at all.
All right.
And then there are a pair of siblings on the show.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But no, I don't remember their names.
Alex and Haley.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're named for Alex Haley, so... Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Art in San Francisco.
Hi, Art.
Hi, how about Mind the Gap, the three-word announcement?
You're absolutely right. Mind the Gap. It's the constant announcement on the London Underground, and it's they've been doing it for, oh, wow. I didn't write that down. I think it's 70 years, so there's been a recording of it. So, yes, Mind the Gap. That is the most repeated three-word announcement in English. Very good.
Thank you.
Yes. And there are variations of it in other subway systems as well. And next call. Oops. All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Has anyone responded to Jerry's question regarding the pizza margarita?
No, nobody has.
With the correct answer, anyway.
It's up to you, yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay, sorry. I guess I missed the guesses. But I know Jerry mentioned it was just a dough and tomato sauce and cheese, but he missed the key third element, which is fresh basil.
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay.
And I mentioned that only because it represents the three colors of the Italian flag.
Well, that's true. That's the other part of the question.
Excellent.
But who is it named after? Why is it called Margherita Pizza?
I know there was a Queen Margherita, and I don't know who she was. I think she was an old Italian major. So
you got it. Queen Margherita of Savoy.
One of the Umbertos.
Where is Savoy? In Italy?
Savoy is the home province of the House of Savoy, the Royal House of Italy.
Okay. Yeah, Queen Margherita. That's correct. Give her a bell.
Very good.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Love the show, you guys.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
What state has more man-made lakes than any other?
Man-made lakes.
It has almost no natural lakes. Or if they are, they're very shallow and small.
Is it West Virginia?
No.
Man-made lakes. Sounds familiar, but I can't quite think of it. Man-made lakes. Okay. Would you repeat that?
What state has more man-made lakes than any other?
All right. And let's go to a call. Let's go to a call, Kevin. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Okay, I have a for the three-word announcement.
Yes.
Is it possibly you're under arrest?
I like that a lot. No, we actually had the correct answer just before we took your call. It's Mind the Gap. That is it's a constant announcement on the London Underground.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I believe the first person to guarantee satisfaction was Phineas Barnum.
No.
No, are you sure?
Oh, I thought you were making a joke.
No, quite serious.
Because he was a famous sucker born every minute guy.
Well, he wanted to get people into his museum, though.
Yeah. No, I guess that is a good guess. No, that is not it.
All right. Was Puny Pete Tiny Tim?
It is. Yes, that is absolutely correct. Puny Pete was the first name of Tiny Tim.
Yeah. And does California have most lakes?
No.
Okay. And I do have a question.
Okay.
For the standard California license plate, I'm not talking about vanity plates or commercial plates or anything like that, just your standard vanilla DMV issued plate consists of a one digit, three letters, and three digits.
Mm-hmm.
How many letters of the alphabet are not used because they look like digits?
Oh.
Q. Oh, how many? About Q?
That doesn't really look like a digit, though, does it?
Oh, digit. I'm sorry. It's not a digit.
I'm asking how many.
Is a... let's see. It seems like an I would be one, but... Or a Z, maybe. But, I'll say...
Why did you say Q is not a digit?
No, it doesn't look like a digit.
Oh.
See, they would... Because of...
Well, it looks like an O.
Kind of.
Kind of, very much so.
I'll say four.
No.
Okay. Is that's too low, I assume?
No, it's too high.
Too high. Oh, so is there only one?
One.
I'm sorry?
No.
No. Okay. It's too high, as I said, four, and one is not right.
How about
two? Two or three?
No.
Okay.
Well, what is it then?
Zero.
Zero.
They're all used.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you did.
Very tricky. Very
not
good.
That it's hard, but believe me.
That's good.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That's excellent.
Okay. I have a list of the three most literate cities in the U.S. and the three least literate cities in the U.S. This is through the Wall Street Journal, I think. This is...
How is this determined?
They determine it by... who listens to this program? No. They determine it through a level of education of the general populace, the amount of bookstores and newspapers in the city, and the circulation of said books, of said newspapers. So, and there are other factors too, but those are the main ones. So again, these are the three most literate cities in the U.S. and the three least literate cities in the United States. So, and they're all, with one possible exception, they're fairly large cities or large cities.
New York, Boston, and San Francisco.
No, none of those.
None of those?
None of those.
Come on.
No, seriously.
Can't think of a city with more bookstores than New York.
Well, you know, they're doing a per capita sort of thing, but...
least literate, well...
Let me give you a little help with this and say that two of the least literate cities are in California.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The major cities.
Well-known cities, yeah.
Well, if we say anything, we're going to be hammered by somebody who lives there.
Well, just don't say anything in the Bay Area.
Visalia.
No.
I don't know.
Not Lompoc either. So, again, I'm looking for the three most literate cities in the U.S. and the three least literate cities in the United States.
And two are in California.
Two of the least literate cities are in California.
Gee.
And one is in Texas. And the most literate cities are spread around the United States.
This is a somewhat dubious...
I don't know.
If I say so myself, mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, this is based on education, high school dropout, level of education of the general populace, amount of bookstores, newspapers, that sort of thing. So again, the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hi, good.
So I'll take a shot at the Bible. The most repeated command is it, fear not?
Yes, I will take that.
Okay.
It's do not fear or some variation on that. So very good.
Very good. So I have really only two very good questions for you. One of it just came out recently that bee stings can cure this terrible illness. Not quite yet, but it shows a very good promise. Do you know what illness it is?
Bee stings can cure what illness?
Mm. Yeah.
I did read that, but of course I can't remember the illness.
Leprosy?
No. something close to home than that. More close to home than that. San Francisco.
AIDS. AIDS?
AIDS it is, yes. It's a funny thing. They found that the toxin from the bee sting can kill the AIDS virus, but it doesn't harm at all the surrounding cell.
Oh, wow. That'd be
interesting.
Great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Really beautiful news because that, you know...
If we could just keep the bees alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Bees, OBs off a lot from, pollination to all kinds of things. So this would be an additional one.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right.
Okay, the second question is, since you're talking about daytime saving, until this year, different countries not have the same, not only time, but dates. You know, a Friday in Russia will be a Tuesday in Spain and Monday somewhere in Asia. until what year all of the days were unified. So a Monday in Russia will be a Monday in England, will be a Monday in the United States, Monday in Africa.
Oh, I never knew that. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I taught geography for a couple of years, and actually I learned that through course. Do you, take a guess.
So you mean you're looking for a year when this all changed?
Right.
1900.
No, unified. Unified.
1900.
Whatever. Was there a historical incident that prompted this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You're right. That's very good guess on your part. Very, very big historical incident.
Kevin suggested the October Revolution in Russia.
You're right. You're very clever people. That's it. You're right. Yeah.
Old communist, you.
Then the last thing I'd like to say, did anybody watch that Ron Howard movie, The March of the Wooden Soldiers? Because it really gave you pretty much a good picture of bankers today. And you can see it on my Facebook under M. Eid Abdallah.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks,
Eid. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry.
What company was the first to promise, quote, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back? And what state has more man-made lakes than any other?
Now, on the company, it's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a product.
Well, they have several products, probably. But this is an umbrella promise.
Okay.
For all of their products.
All right. I see.
I would assume, yeah.
So, like Kraft or something like that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if this company actually made anything. They probably did, but I don't know.
They distribute things.
I'm not saying.
All right. Okay. All right. I have the original names of some literary characters. The ones we have left are, again, these are the ones that were used originally, and then when the work was finished and published, the name changed at the last part of publication. Number one, Little Otto, that's O-T-T-O, and Stella Strong, Connie Gustafson. Those are the original names of what famous
Can I take one more shot
characters.
At one of these?
Yeah.
Stella Strong, would that be Wonder Woman?
No. Oh, that's an interesting guess. No, not Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And what else do I have here? I have a list of the most and least literate cities in the U.S. It's based on high school dropout, level of education in general, literacy, amount of bookstores, newspaper circulation, that kind of thing. So what three cities in the U.S. are considered the most literate in the U.S. and what three cities are considered the least? Two of the least literate cities are in California.
How about Needles?
No, not Needles. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
About a month ago, my promotion period with the Financial Times and the New York Times both ran out. So I switched to the Wall Street Journal because they had a good promotion. And only now do I realize that there was a plan behind that, which is reading the story about literate cities. It was D.C., surprisingly.
Yes.
To me, Seattle and Minneapolis.
Very good. Yes. Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Minneapolis are considered the three most literate cities in the U.S.
Right. I would like to comment on the mind the gap that locally, if you were a BART rider, you would know its doors are closing.
Right.
Which you can hear constantly.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing. Also, thanks to the Wall Street Journal, I read the story about rats and some other animals being trained to detect landmines. And it has to do with the smell of TNT.
Mm.
And for the first time in my memory, I actually saw the identification of the acronym for TNT. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I think it's kind of unpronounceable, as I recall.
No. Could not tell you.
It's a long, long nitro, series of words.
Tulane. Tulane. A tri and nitro makes sense.
Right.
Tulane is some chemical.
Oh, they're not that long. Okay.
And do you know the name of daylight savings time in England?
They're called. No.
Very nice. Summer time. Isn't it better than daylight saving?
I like it, yes.
See you.
Thank you, Thomas. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. The panel tonight, Jerry Nachman, well-known Bay Area author. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. To answer to your question, Jerry, state with the most man-made lakes. Is it Ohio?
No, it is not.
Because I think I had heard somewhere that they don't have any natural lakes.
Yeah, well, they may not, but they're not the leader.
Yeah. I've got a question for you, Jerry. I'm going to have to recuse you, Danny, because you've heard the question
good.
Already.
All right.
What California county shares its name with a four-letter acronym used by Twitter users?
I have no idea. I'm not a Twitter user.
And if anyone else is listening, you can give it a shot. And Danny, I think you know the answer, so give it afterwards.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Not my world.
You know the answer, right, Dana?
Yes.
Okay. I can't think of anything else afterwards, so we're done.
All right, thank you.
Right.
And the answer to that is Yolo County. I think it's Yolo, if I recall. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Janet in Santa Cruz.
Hi, Janet.
I have a couple guesses. Is the satisfaction guaranteed slogan from Good Housekeeping?
No, it is not. Now, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense, but no, that's no.
And then a guess on the most man-made lakes, would that be Arizona?
No, it is not.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, let's see here. Okay, as I mentioned to you before, Jerry, before the show, this is a comic book question. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, you know very well, they're the creators of Superman, also developed a comic book character called Funny Man. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster developed a comic book character called Funny Man. It really didn't go anywhere.
Was
it
a superhero?
Yes. It was
with
sort
a big
of,
F on the with a, on with his a, chest.
I don't know if they had superpowers, but it was it was a...
A funny version.
A funny version of that. And it was based on a real person.
Mm.
Who was it based on?
This was after Superman?
Yes, this is after Superman.
Milton Berle.
No, that's interesting. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Why are you laughing?
Developed a comic book character called Funny Man, and since this was after their Superman, Superman development, and it was based on a real comedian,
Bob Hope.
No.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And let me do this too, so I can get this out of the way. All right, I'm going to give you three state capitals that, and they are also movie titles. So I'm not going to give you the three capitals. I'm going to give you the three actors who starred in these films, and the complete title of the film is the state capital. Okay? So, Roy Rogers, Lily Tomlin, and Jane Wyman. So again, three state capitals in the United States. They were used as movie titles. I'll give you the three actors who starred in these films. One is Roy Rogers. Next, Lily Tomlin. And the third is Jane Wyman. What are the three state capitals?
Tomlin, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's actually the easiest one.
I don't know at this juncture.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, I had a couple of guesses, actually a few, on the least literate cities in the country.
Okay.
Two are in California. I had three cities in California as candidates.
All right.
Shall I just say all three, or do you want to limit me to two?
No, go ahead and say all three for me.
Crescent City, Fresno, and Bakersfield.
Bakersfield is one of them. Very good.
Ooh, okay.
Thank you. That's all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Sacramento isn't one of the cities that's the least.
It is not.
Good. Superman. I'm not sure that I know this guy. Am I still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Rogerfield? Is that who I'm thinking of? Donnie Rogerfield or something like that?
Oh, you mean Rodney Dangerfield?
Thank you.
No.
All right. What about Little Otto? Could that possibly be Little Nemo?
No, that's a good guess, but no.
How about Nashville for Lily Tomlin?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yes, of course.
Nashville.
Yeah, that's
very
easy.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I was trolling around on the Internet, and there's this thing that I found.
And what were you doing, may I ask?
I was checking out movie stuff.
Of course you were.
And so basically, there is one time that there was a write-in for an Oscar. The person who got the Oscar was written in, and it's not an actor. It's a cinematographer. And I was just fascinated.
All right. I think I have heard this.
James Wong Howe.
No.
Is this have anything to do with Midsummer Night's Dream?
Exactly.
Is it Hal Moore?
Yeah.
Okay,
Why was it written in?
I'm not sure why.
Because they...
It was nominated.
It was nominated, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, give yourself a bell.
All right.
And I'll take mine.
There
bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And... you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. here on KALW. If you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hi, Big Radul.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, you asked questions about... battleships in the U.S. Navy.
Did I? Yes, okay. a couple months ago, I think.
Well, I guess I'd kind of fallen behind on my podcast.
All right.
Anyway, the question I wanted to ask was, can you name the class and the ships in the largest battleships that the U.S. Navy ever built? So the class would be one of the state's name, and then the rest of them, as you mentioned, are all names of states.
Okay. So the class, the largest class is also the name of a state.
Yeah, and it's one of the battleships in that class.
Hmm. Is this a name, the name of the class they kept for, as a constant? In other words, it's from the, say, the 20s on up to today kind of thing?
No, it would be the size and the armament of
right.
it. So the
in other words, it wouldn't be the name of, like, the main class, because of that would be the first U.S. battleship, I think.
No,
was the main.
That's correct. That's what it would be. The class would be the name of one of the battleships within the class.
Okay.
And so what I'm asking is the name of the class of the largest battleships, which is a state, and then can you name that one plus the other?
I'm only guessing, but is it either the West Virginia or the Pennsylvania?
No.
All right.
No. One of them was recently, in fact, the one that named the class was recently in Suisun. It was just towed off to the historic... you know, right. historic site, I think, in Southern California.
So not, I don't want to say Missouri, but it's...
No, it was the Iowa.
The Iowa, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the four that, there were the Iowa, the New Jersey, the Missouri, and the Wisconsin.
Okay.
There was a plan to build a larger class. I won't go into the details of that, but the class of that battleship actually would be a correction to the comment you made or to the question you asked about what states didn't have battleships named after them,
mm-hmm.
which your the correct or the partial correct answer was...
That I forgot.
Alaska,
yes.
Alaska and Hawaii, because
right.
you know they came in afterwards.
Well, yes,
there's a third one. It was the Montana.
Oh,
Montana was actually laid down in 1920, but they canceled it in 1922, and then the big class that they were going to have, bigger than the Iowa, was called the Montana class, but it got canceled because they realized they needed aircraft carriers
okay.
more than battleships.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye bye. And let's see, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay, what canned goods were the subject of the first food standards established by the Food and Drug Administration? And there are three, but they're all in the same area. So if you get any of them, I'll give you a bell, I guess.
Now, just to clarify, they were the subject of the first general inspection, or they were subject of first recall?
First
or?
Food standards, I guess, the first one to be approved.
I see.
Officially approved.
All right.
This was in 1939.
Is this have anything to do with the Heinz company?
May, I don't know.
Okay.
They didn't, this is a generic.
1939,
food.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like pork and beans or beans, is that one?
No, but sort of like that, yeah.
What's the one I'm trying to think of? Like Dinty Moore's beef stew kind of thing?
I'm not looking for a brand.
All right.
Beef stew. No, not beef stew, no.
All right. okay. Why don't you repeat the question?
What canned goods were the subject of the first food standards established by the Food and Drug Administration? In other words, what was the first canned goods approved safe, I guess? And there were actually three, but they're all in the same area.
All right.
Okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg. I'm sorry you're not coming in very well, but go ahead.
Question for Jerry. The company with the first money back guarantee, do you say they sell products or they don't make products?
I can't understand.
He's just clarifying that he's asking you that there's no product involved in the money back or the satisfaction guaranteed.
Not a product. A name,
not a product.
A name of a company.
He's basically looking for the name of a company.
Not a company. Not a product.
Montgomery Ward.
That's correct.
Very good.
Is that right?
You
yes.
nailed it.
Okay.
And then I have a guess on the state with the most man-made lakes.
Yes.
Is it in the Midwest or a plain state?
Is it in the Midwest, Jerry, the state with the most man-made lakes?
I can
lakes?
Tell you that.
Oh, you might as well.
Okay. I think it's Oklahoma.
It is Oklahoma.
Oh, very yeah. good.
Oh, okay. you're on a roll. Very good.
Yeah, that's thanks to my fourth grade teacher.
All right.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Nope. Okay. Let's see. What else can I give you here? Let me look for a second. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, the state capital within a movie title. Roy Rogers, would it be Santa Fe?
Roy Rogers did do Santa Fe.
I was
going
to guess that, too.
Yes, he was in two, but I'll give you credit for that because...
Okay, fine. Thank you.
That's one of them, yes.
Bye.
There actually is another... there is another state capital who that Roy Rogers starred in a movie with that title. So.
Oh, Carson City.
Yes. Yes, Carson City.
Okay.
Very good. Yes. All right. Okay. And so we're still looking for the Jane Wyman one. And, okay. Now let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Lynn from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Lynn.
And I have an answer to the state with the most man-made lakes.
Okay, somebody guess it, but you give us yours.
Texas.
No, it's Oklahoma. You're close.
It's what?
Oklahoma. Oklahoma, uh-huh.
Oh, I thought it was Texas. How about for the inspection of the canned food?
Right.
Is that Spam?
No, it is not.
No, that's a good guess.
No, it is not. That's a very good guess. No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm not even sure that's still been approved.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see. Next call.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse.
That's all right.
It's Nancy from Berkeley. And I don't have an answer for a question, but I do have a suggestion for your 20th anniversary party.
Okay, yeah.
And that was, I went to the memorial party for Alan Farley, and that was really great. And so I suggest the green room at the Herbst Theater, and they had people, they had really great food, and they had some music, and people talked about Alan, and, you know, people talked to each other, and it was great.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but we'd have to move the whole show over there, which I don't know if that's physically possible.
Is that possible?
Oh, maybe. You wanted to have it with the show.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. I, you know, well, it doesn't have to
Well, no, that's true. That's a good idea.
We could do it, though. We might be able to.
That's a great place, so that's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good. And if you're going to have it in the summer, it will be better because it was really cold when they had
okay.
it.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And we have a couple of lines open right now. Area code 415-841-4134, the question or answer. 415-841-4134. So let's see. Where's that question I had here? What was the first opera to appear on a stamp, on a U.S. stamp?
Oh, La Boheme.
No.
And the other one that's... The most popular.
And the other one, yeah.
The other one. what's the other one? Carmen.
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
All right.
So what was the first opera to appear on a United States stamp? And let's see. The number again is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there. I've got a guest for the canned product.
Yeah, yes. What is it?
I'm thinking it's the magical triumvirate of spinach, peas, and green beans.
No. These are all the same food category. No, that's not it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. So when you say they're all the same food category, you mean they're...
They're all...
They're all meat or they're all vegetables or
yeah,
that kind
well,
of thing.
Yeah, well, even more narrow than that.
Even more narrow than that. Hmm. How much narrow can you get? Pork and beans?
No. You already said that.
Yeah.
You know. Is that a favorite culinary delight?
No, it is not. I've never had it in my life. But
I know.
I'm just trying to think of something that's been in a can for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in my house. It's been in a can for a long, long time.
Since 1939.
Yeah, almost. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I just wanted to take a guess about your question a while back on the superhero funny man.
Yes.
I was wondering if it was after Harold Lloyd.
No, it's not after Harold Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Well, I would venture another guess, but that wouldn't be fair.
No, sure. That's absolutely fine. Go ahead if you have another guess.
Oh, really? Well, you know, his name just went right out of my head.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Not Chaplin.
Not Chaplin. No, it's not somebody that appeared mostly in silence. It's definitely a talkative comedian. So.
Oh, okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, hi.
Have you gotten the cities that are the most literate, supposedly?
Let me just check that for a second.
Yeah, you did.
We're still missing two of the least literate cities in the U.S. One is in California and one is in Texas.
And do you have the ones that are the most literate? Did you get those?
We already got those. That's Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Seattle, Minneapolis. For the canned thing, is that asparagus?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're on the right track, though.
Oh.
Okay. I have a friend who works in a place in Wisconsin where they check food. And
oh, okay.
She has a message on her machine that says asparagus is a bitch. And that's what it is. Having to clean it up. Apparently,
well, canned asparagus sounds awful to me. But
I know. Well, there's parts of the world where it's...
I know. We're lucky, yeah.
Really. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
When I was a teenager, I had a summer job once in a bird's eye packaging plant.
Everybody I know in college had a job in a canning factory.
And right? Man, was that a...
You heard all kinds of horrible
stories. All kinds of horrible stories. That food would...
Del Monte was...
Fall on the floor, and they said, no, don't waste it. Pick it up. Put it in the...
These are kind of urban myths, I think.
It's not urban myths, because I...
Really?
And, yeah, I started out asparagus. I started out packaging asparagus, and you had to cut it and put it in boxes as it went down the conveyor belt. And it killed my back because I think I was the only man on the line, and everybody was... about 6 inches shorter than I was. So the line was designed for shorter people, and so you had to lean over just a certain angle. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, so much for that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Sorry about that. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hey.
My guess for the first opera to appear on a stamp is Porgy and Bess.
That would be correct.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was 1983, Porgy and Bess.
Well, sometimes called an opera and sometimes called not
well,
an opera.
Well, I think you'd have to.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of controversy over it.
You think so?
Even now, well, it appeared on Broadway originally, so it did not appear in an opera.
But they appeared on Broadway because they wouldn't let them do it at the Metropolitan Opera House. It was my understanding.
Okay. I'll accept that.
So... And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
This is Nancy in Oakland, and I had a wrong guess for the opera. So.
What was your guess, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I was guessing Madame Butterfly.
Oh, okay.
That was the other one I was trying to remember.
All right.
Not Carmen. Okay.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah, right.
You said that, the other one, I went, yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oop, we're out of time? Okay. All right. Time to clean up then. What do we got?
Well, the canned goods first approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration were canned tomatoes, tomato puree, and tomato paste.
Oh, all right.
And the second set were jams and jellies.
All right. The least literate cities in the U.S., Bakersfield, Stockton, California, and Corpus Christi, Texas.
I was going to say Stockton, but I know people in Stockton.
All right. And Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster developed a comic book character called Funny Man based on Danny Kaye.
Oh.
Danny Kaye.
Or his secret powers.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Jane Wyman starred in a film called Cheyenne, which is the capital of Wyoming.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know.
Of course you were.
I never heard of the movie,
I didn't. And the original names of literary characters, Little Otto was actually Orphan Annie, turned into Orphan Annie.
Oh.
Stella Strong was Nancy Drew, and the most interesting to me, Connie Gustafson was Holly Golightly. That was the original name of Holly Golightly. Yes. If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I think Leah Garchik will be here next week. So please join us for that show. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
One way or the other, if it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's got to be this or that.